The new year kicks off with the North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un, boasting about having a nuclear weapon button on his desk. The only thing he has on his desk is a rubber ducky. President Trump responded by pointing out that his nuclear button was bigger, and the liberal fake news media went bonkers. Their argument is that Trump's tweets are harmful. But what does Trump tweet? If Trump did not use tweets to reach the American people, the fake news media would control how we think. For decades, American presidents have been the mouse in a game with North Korean dictators. Calls for talks with Kim Jong-un are asinine. There have been talks with North Korea for several decades, and they always resulted in the United States giving North Korea financial and humanitarian help in exchange for empty promises that have never been kept. North Korea is in desperate trouble. Their people are starving, while their leader lives an opulent lifestyle. The money and the aid we have given to North Korea has been used to strengthen their army and to develop nuclear weapons. Free Americans wonder why the poor North Korean people don't rise up and overthrow the Kim regime. We have to realize that those people are being kept in the dark, literally. They have no means of communicating with the rest of the world. Their leader tells them that they are far better off than South Koreans, and they have no way to get the truth. Now, over the years, a few defectors and a few meetings that the North allowed with the South have spread the word to some of the North Koreans that they are being lied to and oppressed. But they have no means of overthrowing the regime of Kim Jong-un. These are people still using oxen to plow the fields. Kim Jong-un hangs on to power by his fingernails. He sees a nuclear deterrent as his only way to stay in power. He will never give up the quest for nuclear weapons. North Korea is propped up by a Chinese government that doesn't want democracy to spread to the Korean Peninsula. In addition, China can't afford to allow North Korea to fall and have an enormous invasion of starving North Koreans streaming across the Chinese border. China sees North Korea, Kim Jong-un, as a danger. But their options to control him are limited unless they decide to undermine him and foment an overthrow of the Kim regime. That would require the United States keeping its hands off and allowing China to install a puppet leader that they can control. The answer to the North Korean problem is very difficult. Now, experts don't believe that North Korea has the capability to hit the continental United States yet. But if Kim is allowed to continue developing that capability, he would probably perfect it in 12 to 18 months. That's why the United States cannot tolerate nuclear weapons in the hands of this tyrant. War would be an awful consequence to this standoff. Kim's rockets could surely hit Guam and Hawaii, as well as our Japanese ally. South Korea is just a stone's throw away across the border, and so they are easily within his grasp. Still, as bad as the option of war is today, that probability would be much worse a year or years from now. American presidents, Republicans and Democrats, have kicked this can down the road for decades. They have appeased North Korea repeatedly. When the danger of stopping North Korea's drive to develop weapons of mass destruction could have been solved without these terrible consequences in place today. Talks with North Korea are as productive as spitting into a stiff wind. Pressure on China is the only diplomatic solution. Should that pressure fail, there is no other option than to destroy North Korea's military capability. Americans should stand united behind this president, who not only sees the danger, but is willing to confront it. As 2017 drew to a close, I looked back on an up-and-down year for me. My only sister died of lung cancer before Christmas, and I had to listen to garbage from the likes of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer about the tax overhaul and securing more Democratic votes by making citizens of people who came here illegally. Let me review a bit of 2017 for you. The hypocrisy of the leftist Democrats knows no bounds. When Democrats control the houses of Congress, both, they rushed through Obamacare without any Republicans having a look at it. Most Democrats never saw it before the vote. In fact, a demented Nancy Pelosi famously said that Democrats had to vote for it before they could even find out what was in it. How ignorant is that statement? Yet Pelosi and Schumer attacked Republicans for putting through a bill to revise the tax code and cut your taxes. Immediately, Schumer and Pelosi pretended it was the end of the world. Pelosi called it Armageddon. They railed about Republicans hurrying to pass a tax cut bill for the American people. For 40 years, the Democrats controlled Congress. And in that 40 years, they never tried to put through a tax cut to let hardworking Americans keep more of what they earned. In fact, the Democrats raised taxes. Taxes have been raised by Democrats in order to provide benefits to immigrants, both legal and illegal. Taxes have been raised to keep black Americans dependent upon the handouts from government. Democrats see these immigrants and dependent poor and black people as future voters who are beholden to the Democratic Party because they have to depend on the welfare and benefits. Democrats threaten to shut down government unless Republicans allowed all of the illegals in the country to become citizens, more captured voters. The truth is, nobody who breaks our laws by sneaking across the border should be rewarded for it. If an escaped lawbreaker is caught several years later, we don't let them go because the escape was years ago. Neither should we do so for illegal aliens. It is not the fault of the American taxpayer that illegal aliens brought their young children here. Immigration is a privilege, not a right. Illegal immigration is a crime. Every other country in the world recognizes it as a crime. It's not just the flow of illegals and drugs across the Mexican border, but the immigrants coming here from abroad and who know little or nothing, and we know little or nothing about them. Democrat Chuck Schumer was instrumental in establishing a lottery system whereby immigrants from certain countries would be allowed to come here by luck of a draw. To compound matters, the Democrats pushed for chain migration, which means that once these lottery winners get into our country, they can bring in an unlimited number of relatives. How ignorant is that? These people come here not to help build a better country, but to feed off the welfare and benefits that American taxpayers provide. They are not the most educated, but the least educated. They are not the most skilled, but the least skilled. They were a drain on the economy of their home country and present a drain on our finances as well. In the case of certain Muslim countries, they have no intention to assimilate into American culture. They leave a country where their culture and their beliefs are the norm, and they come here to America to immediately agitate for the customs of their home country to be adopted here. We are to change for them. They will not change for us. History clearly shows that followers of Islam remain quiet in a new country until they reach a significant percentage of the population. Once near that, or in a majority, they immediately demand Sharia law and that the host country abandon its beliefs and customs and adopt theirs. We have no obligation to accept immigrants from other countries. When we do, we have every right to determine who they are, what they want here, and whether or not they intend to assimilate into the American culture. Democrats fight that notion because they see these people not as people, but as potential Democratic votes. It's a mystery to me how black Americans allowed the same Democratic Party that used violence and lynchings to control their ancestors to control their minds and votes today. Just as African kings sold out their own people for profit, so did many so-called reverends sell out their own people for Democratic elites in the Americas. Again, history clearly shows that black Americans were a proud people who were pulling themselves up by their bootstraps after the Civil War. Some 600,000 white Americans died in that battle to free American slaves. Immediately after the war, the black American population established neighborhoods where two-parent families tended to their children, where shops and banks and insurance companies sprung up among black owners. It was then that the Democratic Party turned away from physical violence against black people and began a drive to make these people totally dependent upon government for their basic needs. In a matter of a few years, the incentive to work died and turned to a need for free stuff from government. Look at TV footage of the long lines of people seeking help on holidays, and you see an overwhelmingly black percentage. To Democratic leaders, these people were a massive number of political votes, not human beings. Families fell apart. Young black children in great numbers grew up with no father in the home. Inner cities became hell holes with drugs on every corner. Blacks began to kill other blacks in record numbers. Then the Democrats brought in Barack Hussein Obama, a slick-tongued speaker with a black Muslim father and a liberal white socialist mother. Obama told the world he would bring America down and that he would side with Islam over America's Christians. He and his financial backers spent millions of dollars to seal Obama's past records from the voters, knowing nothing about him except that his skin was more black than white. Black Americans shed tears as they elected Obama to office. In his 8 years in office, Obama and the Democrats ran up $9 trillion of debt on this country. $9 trillion in just under 8 years. Still today, devious Democrats scream about the damage the Republican tax cuts would do to our debt over 10 years. $1.5 trillion, they allege. If true, $1.5 trillion more in debt over 10 years, when compared to Obama's $9 trillion debt run-up in under 8 years, pales in comparison. The hypocrisy of Pelosi and Schumer truly knows no bounds. They are lying to the American people, and they know they're lying. Also, the Democrats tried to overthrow the American government by electing Hillary Clinton. Obama had set the table, and Hillary told us that she would carry on what Obama had started. Democrats had no conscience when it came to the lies and deceit of the Clintons. The cover-up of Clinton crimes went all the way through the Justice Department and the FBI up to the Obama White House. These career government stooges believed that there was no way for Trump to beat Hillary at the polls, and so they ganged up to cover for Clinton and make it appear that Trump had some nefarious collusion with Russia. The mainstream fake news media was happy to lie to the American people to ensure Hillary's victory. Evidence is now emerging to show that it was actually the Clinton campaign that had the ties to Russia. They paid for a fake dossier of so-called news compiled by the Russians, and they used those lies against Trump. They knew it was filled with lies, but power was within their grasp, and they resorted to any means necessary to ensure a democratic victory. None of what is emerging now would have come to light if Hillary Clinton had been elected president. That's why Hillary leaned into Barack Obama's ear after her defeat and told him how sorry she was. They had it all planned. Hillary takes the reins from Obama, and the cover-ups would continue. Now, I honestly believe that the hand of God was in the 2016 election, giving this country one last chance to save itself. How else can you explain why Donald Trump was able to beat not just Clinton and her Democratic machine, but the collaboration of the fake news media, venoms from the Hall of Academia, FBI and Justice Department elites, and a blatantly vicious Hollywood core of liberal elites? Trump told us that the fix was in. But even Trump did not know how deep the roots of corruption behind Hillary Clinton ran through the FBI and the Justice Department. Obama's appointment of Eric Holder as Attorney General was in order to have a racist puppet in place to further the corruption of his administration. When Holder was caught in lies and made himself no longer useful, Obama appointed another racist, Loretta Lynch, as Attorney General, and the corruption continued. Nobody should forget that Lynch met with Bill Clinton in a private plane in Phoenix while her Justice Department was investigating Bill's wife, Hillary. Shortly after that meeting, the FBI director at the time, Jim Comey, cleared Hillary of any wrongdoing. It was Lynch who had the power to do that, not Comey. But Comey covered for Lynch. Then Comey illegally leaked information to a news reporter that he knew would give Democrats an excuse to call for a special investigator of Trump and any Russian collusion. Comey also knew that the special investigator would most likely be his buddy Robert Mueller, a former head of the FBI and dear and close friend of Comey's. Upon his appointment, Mueller loaded up his staff with Democrats who had worked for or contributed money to the Clintons or Democratic Party. There were no impartial investigators. They were witch doctors on a witch hunt, and it continues. Still, over a year later, at a cost of millions of dollars, these partisan hacks have not been able to turn up one shred of evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. Instead, we are discovering fraud, money laundering, deception, and collusion between the Clinton campaign and Russian sources. Through it all, the fake news media has steadfastly refused to be honest with the American people. Even as Hillary Clinton played a major hand in selling 20% of our uranium to Russia, and the Clinton Foundation received millions of dollars from Russian interests in return, the fake news hounds turned a blind eye. Just after Hillary Clinton helped get the uranium sale to Russia done, Bill Clinton received a $500,000 fee from a Russian bank connected to Vladimir Putin for a short speech in Moscow. That was double what Bill Clinton had been receiving for his speeches. The Clintons, Democrats, and fake news media would like to have Americans believe that all of this is some gigantic list of coincidences, but it does not come close to passing the smell test. Instead of investigating these matters, the media does what it did for Barack Obama. They duck and actively hide the truth. Every American, be they black, white, yellow, or red, Democrat or Republican, should be greatly alarmed at what can only be described as a covert attempt to take over our government. When politicians value their own power and position above the fate of their country, it has to be exposed. Trump's choice as Attorney General Jeff Sessions has been a major disappointment so far. As evidence mounts of corruption within the FBI and Justice Department, Sessions has been slow to act. Only recently has he called for further investigation into the FBI and the uranium deal with Russia. Slowly but surely, the evidence is mounting to show an appearance that James Comey and Loretta Lynch joined together to absolve Hillary Clinton of crimes. Even before the investigation of her was complete, what exactly did Bill Clinton say to Loretta Lynch on her airplane in Phoenix? That meeting would have been carried out in secret had not a local news reporter seen Bill Clinton going onto Lynch's plane. Remember, Bill's wife, Hillary, was a subject of investigation by Loretta Lynch's Justice Department at the same time. There is no way that Lynch should have let Clinton onto that plane. But she ordered everybody else off of the plane so that she and Clinton could talk alone without being overheard. It is well known in Washington circles that the Clintons play dirty and that they have amassed secret folders on key players in Washington to be used if they were ever confronted about their crimes. Those are the same folders that Hillary Clinton hired private detectives to fill with dirt on the women who came forward to accuse Bill of molesting them. Folders to blackmail these women into silence. The fake news media had a field day snickering about Bill's bimbo eruptions and Hillary's dirty tricks to defuse the women's accusations. Hillary Clinton is a champion of women, much the same as Charles Manson was a champion of nonviolence. Hillary's campaign manager, John Podesta, revealed in his emails that Hillary Clinton hates the average, ordinary American. That's you and me. It was those same average, ordinary Americans who saw through the lies and corruption surrounding Hillary Clinton and elected Donald Trump as their president. What Trump promised to do, if elected, was exactly what this country needed, and enough average, ordinary Americans joined forces to knock Hillary Clinton off of her self-appointed perch. Hypocrisy again showed itself among Democrats as they railed about the possibility that Trump would not accept the election results. In the end, it was Hillary Clinton and the Democrats who would not accept the election results. They set out to take down the lawfully elected president of the United States by any means necessary. Unprecedented hate and venom was directed at Trump even before his inauguration, and it continues to this day. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have such a death hold on Democrats that not one single elected Democrat in the Senate dares to think for themselves. Every single action Trump has proposed has met with bitter, personal, and united opposition from Democrats. No rational person believes that every Trump proposal from the agenda he was elected to is wrong. And yet every single Democratic senator has followed blindly behind Pelosi and Schumer. Anybody who calls themselves a Democrat who doesn't see the hypocrisies, lies, and distortion from these two Democratic leaders is either deaf and blind or as dishonest as they are. It used to be that Americans stood up to lies and corruption. Not so much anymore. The allegiance to political parties rather than our country, and the political parties have scorpions among them. Was it not Democratic hypocrisy when Senate Leader Harry Reid stood on the Senate floor and purposely lied to the American people when he said that Mitt Romney had not paid taxes for years? When confronted with his lie, Reid smugly said, "Well, he didn't win, did he?" Were you proud of that moment in history? Recently, we saw Democratic hypocrisy again when they keep the fake news hounds active with suggestions that Trump might fire Robert Mueller. Trump has said repeatedly he was not going to fire Mueller. And yet the Democratic lies continue. Their fake news hounds keep putting their lies into print to take the focus off of the mounting evidence of Democratic corruption from Obama and the Hillary Clinton campaign. It has taken a long time to get this new evidence of Democratic corruption out to the public. because the fake news media refused to investigate or even report on it. On a clear day, when I tell somebody the sky is blue and their eyes glaze over in denial, I know that I'm talking to a fool. The two biggest fools in America today are Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, hands down. Every proposal from the Trump agenda is a calamity. As Chicken Little found out, there are just so many times you can scream that the sky is falling before people realize they're listening to fools. Now, as for the tax relief proposal that President Trump signed into law just before Christmas, nobody calls it perfect. Nothing perfect ever comes out of Washington, D.C. But it is a major step in the right direction. Middle-class Americans will get more of their own money in their own pockets. I urge you, tune out the fake news media and the shrill screams from Democratic leadership. Let me tell you, the basic differences between the Democrats' old tax code and the new one just passed by Republicans. The Democrats' current tax code gives individuals a standard deduction of just $6,350. Under the new Republican plan, you as an individual have a $12,000 deduction, double. If you're married, the Democratic reduction for you was $12,700. But under Trump's plan, your first $24,000 is your deduction. The child tax credit, it was $1,000. Now it's been doubled to $2,000. And that's not a bonanza to the rich and corporations. For a family earning up to $19,050, your tax rate remains at 10%. For a family earning between $19,050 and $77,400, you used to pay 15% of it to the government under the old Democratic code. 15%. Now your rate is 12%, not 15%. If your family earns between $77,400 and $165,000, you'll now pay 22% in tax instead of the 25% under the old Democratic plan. A family earning between $165,000 and $315,000 will see their income tax cut from 28% to 24%. For a family earning from $315,000 to $400,000, the tax cut is from 33% to 32%. Your medical expense deduction, before the Republican tax cut bill, was 10% of income. Now it's cut to 7.5% of income. Under Obamacare, you either signed up and paid for it, or the government forced you to pay a penalty. That has been eliminated. Student loan interest remains unchanged. If you have a mortgage on your home, you can no longer deduct the first $1 million under the Republican plan. The deduction falls to $750,000. How many poor or middle-class people do you know who have a $1 million mortgage? The rich just had their deduction pared by $250,000. The corporate tax rate was cut from a staggering 35% to 21%. That's where our jobs are created. Democrats are not blind. They know the truth. They just won't admit it because they choose political power over jobs for the middle class. You'll still get the same tax credit for buying electric vehicles. Small corporations and family farms will now pay a tax only if the value of the farm or business is over $22,400. Under the Democratic plan, anything over $10,500 demanded a hefty tax, which caused many family farms and small corporations to have to be sold to pay off the tax. You still get to deduct state and local taxes, but now it's capped at $10,000. It's not the poor and middle class that gets hit by this. It's the rich. Even before Trump signed the tax overhaul into law, several major corporations announced bonuses and raises for their employees. They can now afford to. AT&T announced a $1,000 bonus for 200,000 employees. Comcast and others followed. Certain Democrats and fake news reporters made fun of those bonuses. Let me tell you from somebody who's been there living paycheck to paycheck, a $1,000 bonus is nothing to laugh at. And a raise in pay of any amount is nothing to laugh at. Trillions of dollars are set to come back into this country by large corporations who have kept their profits offshore to avoid the highest corporate tax rate in the world. The Democrats' fanatical swipes at corporations would lead you to believe that they are all Walmart-sized entities, but that's a monstrous lie, and they know it. They are far, far more small business corporations in America than Walmart-sized ones. Giving businesses a tax break is simply allowing them to keep more of their own money and enables them to expand their business and offer better pay to workers. Rich Democrats like Pelosi and Schumer scream about tax cuts for the rich and corporations. These same hypocrites own corporations themselves or are invested in corporations, including Walmart-sized ones. In my broadcast career, I rose from a lowly paid job as a disc jockey to own 57 radio stations across 13 American states. All of them were in separate small corporations, and all of them provided jobs. When Democrats rail out against tax cuts for the rich and corporations, it's just another avenue for them to use to divide us, to stir up hate and anger among us. Divide and conquer is their goal. I was not raised to hate the rich. On the contrary, I was taught to educate myself and strive to be rich myself to better serve my family. Democrats delight in accusing others of being racist or a bigot. They are playing the race card to make black Americans think that they, the Democratic Party, are pure, and the rest of the conservative white people are racists. It's all divide and conquer. We should all be calling for truth from our government. Hillary Clinton and the Democrats should be calling for an investigation into Clinton's deeds louder than conservatives. What better way to prove that all of these so-called coincidences are indeed coincidences? What do they fear from that investigation? The same hypocritical Democrats who screamed for an investigation of a Russia-Trump campaign collusion with absolutely no evidence to base those screams on are now fighting hard to keep an investigation of the Clintons and Russia hid from us. Why? If innocent, they should welcome a thorough investigation. 2018 is a new year, the second year of Trump's presidency. By February, middle-class Americans will be keeping more of their own money in their paychecks. The American economy will be roaring more than it is already, and the shrill voices of Pelosi and Schumer will be recognized for what they are: lies from power-hungry ideologues who value their own positions and power more than our country. Now, time will tell. Let's watch whether I am right or Pelosi and Schumer are right. I have no reason to lie to you. They have every reason to lie to you. And even when their lies are exposed again, they will duck and weave with new lies. Give this president time to show whether or not the trust given to him by the American people is justified. Get the Democrats off of his back, weighing him down even as they accuse him of not getting things done fast enough. This isn't about personalities or tweets. It isn't about whether or not Donald Trump has flaws like every other human being. It's about life and death and the health of this nation. We cannot persevere divided against ourselves. There is common ground, and if we are to survive as a free nation, we must find that common ground. Donald Trump is not a smooth, calculated politician. He can be crude and overbearing, but it is the results he attains that should be the focus. Democrats play dirty personal politics. They seek to keep the attention of the American people away from what Trump is accomplishing and focused on his personal flaws. I remember once when I urged my dear friend George Beasley to to fire an employee who was a drunkard and who kept the radio station on edge. It was when George was just getting started in the business, and times were very hard. George said to me, "Tom, that salesman brings in more than $150,000 a year, and I can put up with a whole lot of crap for those kind of results. Donald Trump is turning this country back around. His agenda is our agenda, and I can put up with a whole lot of crap for those kind of results. Think about it."